She was being hunted. She could feel it. The forest was trackless, seemingly unending. She crept from tree to tree, always conscious her next step could be her last. The gun in her hand was her only companion, apart from the ever-present expectation of death she had become accustomed to. Solitude had sharpened her senses, but even without this keen awareness, she could tell her hunter was good, really good, just waiting for their chance. On this open planet, she was fair game. Her ship had been small, and she'd banked on avoiding the rapacious talons of the Gouda Prime blockade. In the end, she only just managed to escape before the stuttering drive scattered it over a wide radius. Since then, she'd been walking, knowing the thermal image of the ship was like a spore, her own body heat a death sentence. Stomach growling, she saw the smoke and responded to the scent of roasting meat before she was conscious of it. The man was turning a crude spit over an open fire, the flesh bubbling and blistering as the fat dripped down onto the flames. She took in a rough, quilted body warmer, a white shirt, badly stained. He resembled a pirate, she thought. The moment froze as a twig snapped under her boot. Had he noticed the small sound over the crackle of the fire? He gave no sign. Then he straightened, moving to place his back against a tree. She held her breath. When he spoke, it was almost a relief. This was Blake. She didn't know it yet, but in a very short time she would see him die, shedding his life in the worst way, at the sure hand of a friend. And now? She had woken under a pile of corpses, somehow managed to squirm out from under their dead weight, a dull ache in her jaw and in the very bones of her skull. Three shots. She remembered three shots and a figure in black standing aghast over a body. The recoil from her pistol as she gunned the black woman down. Then the insignificant little man had knocked her cold. Berating herself for her carelessness, she looked around the tracking gallery, noting with satisfaction his body was amongst those littering the floor. The rest were mostly Federation troopers. Never underestimate anyone, Arlen. Blake was there, eyes staring up. But where was the other? The one who had killed his friend? She scanned the room quickly. The man in black was missing. There was just the scarecrow clutter of blasted bodies. As if on cue, a distant alarm began to pulse. But there was another sound, much nearer. A gentle, insistent, escalating hum. She stared. In the ruin of Blake's bloodied torso, something else gleamed a brighter red. She ran and almost made it, the room erupting at her back, the force of the charge throwing her against a bulkhead. She smelled burning flesh and knew it was her own. Rolling did no good. She had to strip off her blazing clothes, rip out a clump of blackening hair as the phosphor clung and seized. Agonized, she somehow found the will to keep moving. She felt blisters rupturing, seeping down her back like hot fat. Sobbing with pain, pain, she stumbled on. Blank corridors, more dead soldiers. The Iron Guard, she thought in her delirium. Best of the best, but not quite good enough. She stumbled over torn clothing, studs blackened by soot and drying blood. She recognized them and knew the impossible had happened. Against all odds, he had escaped that infernal room. She moved on, instinctively scooping up a sidearm. Only this kept her driving through the pain, the cold grip of the gun like an encouraging hand. It gave her strength. Eventually, she reached the underground landing silo. But where to now? Her quarry would be heading for a surface exit. She paused for a moment and, drawing on her last reserves of energy, doggedly followed her hunch. The outer door was breached, the clamps in pieces on the floor. She gazed into the fitful dark. Nothing and nobody. Not really sure where she was going, she limped on. Scanning the ground, she saw a churning mass of boot prints heading inward, with only one set, overlaid, heading out. She followed where they led, weapon held low, shreds of professionalism still holding her together. It wasn't long before she saw him, leaning with his back against a tree, just off the main track. There was an infinite weariness in his stance, as though he had paused to take stock, count the breaths in and out, and map the extent of himself. He seemed oblivious to her, gave the impression of a newborn creature, a thing out of a butchered womb, perhaps, come mewling into this cold, savage world. His wounds bled freely, but even as she watched, the ragged flesh was sucked back into his frame, leaving only the faintest shadow of scars on his skin. He was so pale and gaunt, as if death was inside him, suppressed by something even stronger than itself. Although his eyes were closed, she still felt as if he could see her. Raising the gun seemed appropriate, some tribute to the danger left in the ravaged shape. Trembling with an ague of pain, she tried to focus. Then he spoke.
It wouldn't do any good, you know.
His eyes were open now. She stared through these windows into the personal hell of his soul, his grave a fine and private place with no embracing. No life, no warmth, no pity. And something infinitely timeless was looking out through him, into her. Something was wearing this man like a ragged suit of clothes. The eyes burned as they fell on her, twin phosphorus grenades, a holstered firearm at his side ignored.
How did you survive?
Terror forced words from her scorched throat. The other smiled with his mouth.
No one survived Gouda Prime. Least of all, you.
In her last heartbeat, the clip gun was in his hand and pointed precisely between her eyes.
Here's to the next life.
Arlen never knew if she'd managed to pull her own trigger,